It's all very discombobulated. Welcome back to the roundtable on WAMC. 11 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Now, this is an interesting situation. Joe Donahue is actually here. Say hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Yes. And, okay, so at about 10 of, we found out that Joe would sound a little like this.
Hello?
Yes. And so now I'm going to host the show temporarily unless the voice comes back. In which case we'll switch here.
But here's what I've learned is that if I go to a lower register, like if I go here, I can sound somewhat human.
You sound great. You make Macy Gray sound like Pavarotti. So it's
that's what I'm looking for.
Also here with us is Judy Patrick from the Daily Gazette. Hello, Judy.
Hello. The only day in my life when I will sound a little bit clearer than Joe Donahue.
Hardly.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. And Alan Shartok is here. Alan, how are you doing?
I'm okay, except that your microphone, sir, is breaking up in my ear. Joe is fine. Judy is fine. Judy's not close enough to the microphone. But you, sir, sound like there's a short in
really?
Your mic.
I think I sound darn good. I'm wondering if it might be I don't know. Maybe it's your headphones.
But why would my headphones be bad for one out of the three?
Well, you would think
possible.
Of any of us, it would be mine.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't be able to tell with yours.
No, in fact, Ray sounds like he has more laryngitis than you do.
Really?
Not really.
Okay.
Okay, but I know we have a crack engineering staff, and I know that they're capable of fixing everything, including because they know that our motto at WAMC is...
Execution.
It's all a matter of execution.
Right. Okay.
Boom.
On we go with the program.
There we go.
The email address here, by the way, is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, if you want to weigh in. And I should also let you know, before we start, you can download our new mobile app, which is pretty darn cool, which I believe is how the techies describe it nowadays. Streaming audio, headlines, podcasts, and more. It's the new WAMC app. Just go to iTunes or Google Play App Store, search WAMC, and install. So, to recap, Joe's voice is not good today. It's coming back.
Yes.
Actually, you sound much better. So let's start with news in the day for the panel. This is from the New York Times. Court backs Michigan on affirmative action. Alan discussed this at 7:37. From the New York Times, in a fractured decision that revealed deep divisions over what role the judiciary should play in protecting racial and ethnic minorities, the Supreme Court on Tuesday upheld a Michigan constitutional amendment that bans affirmative action in admissions to the state's public universities. It was a 6-2 ruling. It effectively endorsed similar measures in 7 other states. It may also encourage more states to enact measures banning the use of race in admissions or to consider race-neutral alternatives to ensure diversity. Alan, we kick it off with you.
Well, I need just a little bit more definition on this, Ray. The court, of course, is following and saying democracy is democracy, and this is a question of policy. Should 300 years of neglect and worse than slavery and everything else, which put people of color behind, should the society owe something back? And the way to do that is to mainstream their kids and make sure that they can get an education, because that's the way that you make everything work. And then the voters in Michigan, which of course has had its troubles, turns around and says, my kid should not go second in line to somebody who just has a different skin pigment. I hope that those are the same people who would be there the other way around. In other words, I hope that all those people who are responsible for all that racial prejudice weren't as democratic, if you're following me, and when it comes to prejudice. So I'm disappointed, to be honest with you. But the court is saying, and by a wide margin, the people of the state have a right to make this policy decision.
It seems, Alan, like there's two issues. And one is that when you look at a graph that the Times provides today of the states that have banned affirmative action in college admissions, that universities have tended to enroll fewer Black and Hispanic freshmen.
No question.
Added to that is there seems to be, in from my reading of the court decision, is that the judiciary is very muddled on what their role in that should be.
Yeah, Judy, I think that's exactly where we are with this.
Right. I think, as with any Supreme Court decision, this is a very complicated decision, often dealing with the nuances of the law. I think the Sandra Sotomayor in her dissent was very clear about this issue, that it needs to be further addressed, and that she, you know, totally disagrees with the majority ruling that in this case it was okay for the voters to make this decision, and it's not a judiciary decision.
Right, and Justice Kennedy and Roberts and Alito basically said, in fact, exactly said, This case is not about how the debate about racial preferences should be resolved. It is about who may resolve it. There's no authority in the Constitution of the United States or in this court's precedents for the judiciary to set aside Michigan laws that commit this policy determination to the voters. My question is, you know, there have been some decisions made by voters in our past that have not exactly been right. Where does that line get drawn? Back to you, Alan.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you that when I went to Hunter, 59-63, you got in because you had an academic average. That's when you got in. But it cost nothing. The place cost nothing, not one red cent. And so as a result of that, there was, as you just said, Ray, another path. A lot of people came who ordinarily wouldn't have come because even $500 was too much money. And so from then later on, they had an open admissions policy at CUNY, which was a miserable failure. The place really went right down, and they had to change that under who? Herman Badillo said, "This is not this has brought bad times to the City University. We have to change this." So, as you said quite perceptively, Ray, there are lots of ways to get to this. The real question is: are we willing to do any of them?
And this seems like it's always going to be a fight, don't you think, Alan? I mean, we haven't come to any, when it comes to affirmative action, we haven't come to any firm ground whatsoever, at least in the judiciary.
Right. And I think it's important, Joe, to remember that the Supreme Court overturned a high federal court in coming to this decision.
Right.
So 6-2, I guess. So it isn't as if there are no judges out there who don't understand the picture, which is, if we don't do something now, in a few years, whites in this country, Caucasians, will be in a minority. And you better believe that that there will be changes in social, educational, political processes based on the fact that in a democracy, the people who have the most votes rule.
Well, this is clearly an issue that this country has grappled with for a very long time. Every once in a while, you think it's all resolved, but it's not. Right now, I'm trying to hire reporters,
How much are you paying?
And the field of candidate, does not include a lot of minority, candidates, and that is because they're not coming out of the colleges, and so they need to get into the colleges. So I have an opportunity to hire them because I need a diverse newsroom. Because a diverse newsroom is a better newsroom. It's stronger. It brings different ideas, and that is true for every workplace. And I think that's something we can't lose sight of in this discussion.
And Judy, you're so profound. It actually gets to be even worse than that, because the folks who do get in, people of minority people who do get in, when they graduate, they can write their tickets in many cases, and Judy Patrick and the Times Union and the Schenectady Gazette can't get those people, because I know we're always trying to. Let's face it, you want to go to graduate school, you go to Harvard. Why would, it's that simple.
Joe Donahue, you seem to have a nice, smooth voice today. I'll give you the last word on this before we go to break.
Next.
Okay. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. If you have a good sore throat remedy for Joe or a lozenge, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Clear Yoga in Rhinebeck, a Yangar yoga for all ages and abilities, classes daily including restorative, meditation, and weekend workshops, a yoga practice helping to develop strength, flexibility, and peace of mind. ClearYogaRhinebeck.com. Smith College Museum of Art, presenting The Eye is a Door, landscape photographs by Ann Whiston Spurn, now on view. Exhibition-related programs and more, smith.edu/artmuseum for details. and Foresight Land Services for over 45 years, offering civil engineering, land surveying, planning, and environmental permitting to private and municipal clients in the Berkshires and Eastern New York. ForesightLand.com.
Back to the round table. It's 22 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for
Joe. I heard that.
Joe Donahue was actually here, and I'm just sort of filling in the gaps while he has his lozenge. It's 22 minutes after 9 o'clock. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address.
Raymond?
Yes?
I have a letter.
Ah! Well, please
Judy.
Do.
I would like to say that I agree complete. Oh, no, that's a different one. Wait a second.
All right.
Tony said you sound fine on the radio. And then there was
Hooray?
I think it. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Hooray.
Okay.
Sound fine on the. Because I remember I was objecting to the microphone, which is fine now. Somebody must have done something. Then Judy says, suck on a lemon wedge, Joe. This will give you back. Give you a voice for about 15 minutes per wedge.
Oh, really?
I'm not kidding. This trick got me through several concerts back in the day. Judy's quite a singer.
So you need about 12 for the whole show.
Right.
I need a lemon.
Where is the closest grocery store?
I don't know. I have to. Alan's always coming back with tangerines.
Actually, there's a wonderful Chinese grocery store.
Yeah.
Right down the block here. I go there 3 or 4 times a day.
Could you do some of those Brenda Vaccaro commercials while you're like this? Because
I wonder how many minutes I would get sucking out a tangerine, because I do have those here.
Then we had one which I think is worth reading from yesterday, if you don't mind too much.
Oh, well.
It's from Deborah. She was responding to our conversation about rape, you'll remember that, and about how the society is so sexualized. And you will remember that Libby was very, very strong on this subject about rape. And how she trained her son to ask before any move. She also talked about the sexualization of the society, and Deborah agreed with her. I would like to say that I agree completely with Libby regarding the way women dress. If appearance doesn't matter, why do prostitutes dress that way they do? If you aren't selling, don't advertise, she said. I just thought I'd mention that.
Judy's scowling. Go ahead, Judy. You weren't on the panel, but feel free.
So the point is
Check in, Judy.
The women should be dressed in burkas, perhaps?
Yes, that's a very good point. That's a very good point that you're making, because some societies solve the problem of sexual attraction by covering up women, saying they can't drive, saying that they can't be in the workplace, saying they can't tempt men, and all of the rest. You make a very good point. On the other hand, other societies say anything goes. Is there a happy medium?
I mean, the point that I think Libby was trying to make, and the point of what brought this up, was we were talking about people like Britney Spears and Miley Cyrus and the over-sexualization to a young audience, to young girls, 12, 13, 14 years old.
Yeah, I definitely think that is a problem. I think the glamorization of the objectification of women as sexual objects is a very, very bad thing. But on the other hand, I think that women do get empowered by the ability to dress whatever way they want. I think they should be able to walk down the street wearing short skirts if they want to, and not be the subject of whistles and catcalls.
All right, so you stated.
So how come I'm a little concerned about the word empowered. You say women will be empowered to dress any way they want. What do you mean by empowered?
They can feel confident that they can wear whatever they want to wear. They don't have they don't have to go through life walking out the door thinking, am I going to be subject to ridicule or judgment by wearing this or that? Or rape.
I see that
scenario.
I see that, but most people don't see you. They could if they went to WAMC.org and watched and clicked on Watch Now.
Yeah.
And only for purposes of identification, I want to say that Judy is a very attractive woman. Now, Judy, I noticed the way that you dress. You don't dress in a provocative way, sexually provocative way. You wear smart clothes, and why do you make that choice?
I am at work when you see me, but you should see me on the weekends.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've certainly taken an interesting turn here. Roundtable@WAMC.org is the email address, roundtable@WAMC.org. Here's the thing, panel. Now, we have retread some ground from yesterday, and there is only 2 minutes now before the news. Start a new topic. Joe, it's your show.
Can I just interject real quick, because we have like 2.5 minutes, and I just want Alan to talk about the can you talk about Raff Vogel pleading guilty?
Very quickly.
Community leader, a long-time ties to Sheldon Silver, expected today to plead guilty in connection with a scheme to take $7 million from one of the city's most influential social service organizations.
When the cops went in to Raff Vogel's house, now remember, Raff Vogel is one of the most prestigious guys in the Ilya Montanari community in New York. Collected a lot of money for in his organization, which is a Jewish organization. His wife is the chief of staff for Sheldon Silver. Sheldon Silver now puts a lot of distance between him and Raff Vogel. Raff Vogel is now going to plead guilty. My bet is that he is not going to roll on Sheldon Silver. What would be the incentive? It would not be there. He's going to take his medicine. And I'm sure there would be people who will say, well, there's a fix-in. But you know what? You got to believe Shelly Silver. If he says he didn't know, then he didn't know. The wife who lived in the same apartment where the cops found a shoebox full of money says she didn't know either. And if she says so, I suppose you just have to believe her also. But the way this kind of thing works is you always try to get one guy to roll on the others.
Shelley's not implicated, right?
Shelley's not implicated
in any way. Now, I heard you mention this morning that their kids went to summer camp together, but that would be a tenuous prosecution at best.
Yes. I would say it is. And he's a wise politician, Shelley Silver. He's had troubles before, but nobody has ever been able to lay a finger on him. And I think innocence is there until somebody is proven guilty. So a lot of people were watching this. This was a big shoe that people were waiting to have dropped.
All right, and that is where we will leave this first half hour of the program. It is the soothing cough medication edition of the Roundtable. Roundtable@WAMC.org is our email address. Judy Patrick is here, Alan Shartok, Joe Donahue, Ray Graff, and whoever else. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable, Wednesday edition of the panel. Judy Patrick is here, Alan Shartok, Ray Graff, and Joe Donahue. It's 9:36, and let's just do a health check. Joe, how's the voice?
Doing fine, thanks, Ray.
Okay, good. It's getting better, slightly, a little improvement. Alan Shartok, we have some mail, yes?
We do. Just a couple more on the clothing debate. One says, I once told some college males, I think if you are legally drunk and should not drive, you are too drunk to consent to sex. Their response, then no one in college would be having sex. Clearly, education and culture is needed, change is needed if we want to decrease the prevalence of date rape. And then Close says, I wanted to respond to the conversation regarding clothes and sexual assault. It's one thing to say you should be able to wear what they want. I agree with that. It's another thing entirely to think about what clothing options say to our young girls. I have a 10-year-old daughter. It's troubling to see what's being marketed to young girls and teens. Lots of skin, tight, etc. I want my daughter to look like a girl and be able to run and play. I don't think it empowers her to be revealing tight clothes. And that's from Christine.
Okay.
Right.
And there's another throat remedy. This one's for when you're off the air. Okay.
Oh, what? Okay. You can't do it while he's on the air?
Well, I don't know. This one is for you, Joe. Yogi ginger tea with a standard honey and lemon added, and a liberal slosh of Allen's ginger brandy. Note that a brand name nor a suggestion to ransack Alan's desk for his personal
stash. I don't think Alan has any ginger brandy in his desk, although not that I've seen anyway.
But we could check.
I think since, you know, Ray, you and I have been here for almost 20 years. Yep. I think if Alan had brandy in his desk, we would have known about it a long time
Absolutely.
Ago.
And I think some of those meetings would have been much more enjoyable, frankly. All right.
And Kenner writes, I too am empowered by being too old to more than a little bit distracted by people who feel empowered to dress up sensationally on the weekend. Heaven help the younger people who must cope with all the cross currents of other people's expectations about dressing for success in business and romance. That's fine. And let's see. That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. Anybody else want to? Judy, you want
to? You know, I want to clarify my weekend attire, which really entails shorts and a t-shirt, so I can get into the garden. I am not out clubbing by any means.
So this is not Miley Cyrus we're talking about here.
I've seen Judy on the weekend in town. She's very casual.
All right. This whole conversation is making me uncomfortable. So let's just move on. This is also from the Supreme Court. New York Times. Justice is skeptical of Aereo's business. Now, this is a story that goes back a couple of years now. And this from yesterday's, might be today's Times. The Supreme Court signaled on Tuesday it was struggling with two conflicting impulses in considering a request from television broadcasters to shut down Aereo, an internet startup they say threatens the economic viability of their business. On the one hand, most of the justices suggested that the service was too clever by half, with a business that relies on capturing broadcast signals and streaming them to subscribers for a fee. Your technological model, Chief Justice John G. Roberts told Aereo's lawyer, is based solely on circumventing legal prohibitions that you don't want to comply with. Now, if you don't know what this is, Aereo uses small antennas, one for every subscriber, to stream over-the-air TV signals to its customers, allowing them to record, watch on smartphones, tablets. Broadcasters say this is theft of their content. It violates copyright laws. It looks like there is some sentiment on the Supreme Court that this is, in fact, the case. We'll start with Judy.
You know, I get my TV from rabbit ears, so I had a hard time figuring this one out. So I don't get, and so it's free anyway to me. But so this is the same concept.
This is exactly their defense, by the way.
That is their defense, and the Consumer Federation of America is in support of this case, saying the consumers have a right to kind of pick and choose where they get their television and how they get it. You know, the problem with the rabbit ears is you don't get the specialized HBOs, you just get the regular broadcast channels. But at the same token, the cable TV stations are paying the broadcast stations so they can broadcast those stations through the cable systems. You know, the other issue here is whether this will stifle the creativity of the internet, whether people won't be able to, you know, we won't see this evolve as it should.
One of the things that struck me about this case is that we use this word, and I don't want to oversimplify it, but we use this word broadcast. And if we're broadcasting and we're putting it out into the, as we are right now, yes, you can get us online. Yes, you can get us in the mobile app. But most people are getting us in their car from their antenna or their home or wherever. So if we have that technology of what is old is new again, of going back to a device that you can plug in that will get those signals and they're out there, then I don't understand how it's a theft.
But here's the difference. Well, go ahead, Alan.
Well, let me just get in there if I can and say that it's clear to me what's going on here. You have a Supreme Court. You've got five guys on there who are corporatists. They are corporate America.
Right.
And they're going to stick up for corporations. I mean, does anybody have any question as to what's going on here? You can make all of the intellectual arguments, and all of which are good, Joe and Judy. You know, I love it. The whole idea of the rabbit ears and the rest is terrific. But they're not going to stand for it. This is standing up for these major corporations, which are saying, help, we're being ripped off, we're being stolen. There's a big difference, as I always tell my students, and we should be condescending about this. There's a big difference between what is and what should be. And what is what those five guys on the Supreme Court are going to say, and of this, there is no question.
Well, one of the people who you might not put in that category, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, said this, talking to Aereo's lawyers, you are the only player so far that doesn't pay any royalties at any stage. So it would seem to me that the line of who is backing the networks is a little more gray than you may suspect. And it is true. In other words, Justice Sotomayor says, it's not logical to me that you can make these millions of copies and essentially sell them to the public. And Joe talked about the broadcast networks that you get for free.
Right.
Those affiliates are paying the networks. There is money involved in that free signal, which they hope to recoup by advertising, obviously.
Don't you think?
Are you sure? Are you sure that it's the networks? Here at WAMC, we pay NPR to give us programming. But are we positive about how it works in terms of television? I always thought that the networks were paid. Well, I don't know.
They own some stations, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's some network stations.
Advocates of this say that they're distributing the content free, so all the commercials that are airing on these broadcast stations are getting a wider audience, and so therefore that's good for the broadcast networks. There's another argument that if the cable companies lose subscribers because they're getting it through this alternative means, then the broadcast companies won't get as much revenue back from the cable companies because they're losing revenue.
I kind of think about this as Napster, where there was one of the early music streaming services, and it set the recording industry on its ear. Because you're going to get this for free. And then iTunes came along and said, okay, well, we're going to figure out how to do this, but we're going to give you your money too. And it seems to me that's where we're headed here. It's going to start off as this is the technology, this is what we have, but the next step is going to be to incorporate some way that all parties involved can get the money that whether they deserve it or not.
Yeah. So many of the young people I talk to don't watch TV. They watch TV on their computers via Hulu or a number of
which you're paying for in most cases. But
Well, it's clear that the Supreme Court. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Well, it's clear the Supreme Court is cognizant of possible chilling effect for the use of a cliche on future technology. And so I think they're trying to straddle that line. Go ahead, Alan.
Well, they've all written books, you know. They're all writing books, or they've written books, and it must occur to them, you know, there are a thousand ways people are ripping us off. There's no such thing as, you know, major royalties anymore, unless you're Andrew Cuomo or one of those guys. Why should I cut my own throat? You know, I tend to try to get inside their heads. And it does seem that, you know, you write a song, forget about it. It's out there. And I think there's this whole question of intellectual property that is even bigger than this particular little case.
Okay. It's the Ricola edition of the Roundtable. 9:46 is the time. You can email us at roundtable@wamc.org. Judy Patrick, Joe Donahue, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, all with you. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Binghamton University, working to prepare students for careers and advanced education by striving to foster curiosity, growth, and discovery on campus and abroad. Binghamton.edu. Adams Fairacre Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger. Local and imported cheeses, prepared foods, specialty groceries, houseplants, seed starting supplies, bird seed, and more. AdamsFarms.com. And College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years. CollegeStreetMotors.com.
Back we are with the Roundtable on WAMC. Joe Donahue and Judy Patrick and Alan Chartok and Ray Graff in here just holding the fort while Joe's voice returns. Is your voice back? That's the best you've sounded.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
I think you're on the upswing. This is all very good.
Sucking on a lemon.
Judy Patrick, what's new in the Daily Gazette?
You know, we, like every media outlet in the state, are covering this casino story, where the casinos are going to go in New York State, how the process is working. Yesterday, we had more news about companies that are stepping forward and are going to plunk down the $1 million application fee that it will cost to even get their project considered.
They get that back if they don't get their project, though.
No,
but
there is some point where they could get it back if they decide not to pursue it. But if they're going to pursue it, yes, they can back out there at some point and they still get the $1 million. But there is a point of no return where they lose that $1 million. And the state is saying that it will cost $1 million to do the background check. So let's hope we're going to get a really thorough background check of any company that's going to put up one of the four casinos that, you know, the voters approved to go in upstate New York sometime this year. So what we one of the things we heard yesterday was more news about the Saratoga Raceway and Casino. They have dropped their plans to do the Saratoga site, but they are actively developing an application for Rensselaer County and also one in Orange County. This is something that's going to go before the town of Newburgh planners later this week. And one of the minority owners there says the company's intention is to open both casinos if they get both applications approved. You know, and then we heard yesterday also about Caesars, you know, Entertainment out in Las Vegas. They too have a project they want to launch. It's just about 50 miles north of New York City. I guess one of the things is that, you know, New York City is such a big market and people want to get close to it because I'm sure that there are a lot of gamblers down there.
The Newburgh facility mentioned here, the potential Newburgh facility, is that technically one that is in the Albany area or the Catskills area?
It is technically in the Hudson Valley Catskill region. So they have these four separate regions and one can go in each of these regions. So that's that area. And that, by my reckoning of geography in New York State, is the one closest to the city.
I hope you. I don't know if you guys remember, because I'm so much older than all of you, but I don't remember. I wonder if you remember that when the cables systems began, and then there were these huge fights as to who were they going to be, the cable providers. All kinds of politicians were getting rich, you know, getting a lot of money in terms of influence. And I think if we're smart, we're all going to be watching the campaign contributions. You know, who gives what to which politician. I think you're going to see a lot of that. I believe some people went to jail over that one.
So today is the deadline for putting down that $1 million fee. And tomorrow, the state is going to give us a list of everyone who paid the $1 million fee. So we'll see exactly how many companies are going to be out there. I think one time I've heard 14 or 15 at least.
You know, last week or what might have been the week before, we were on talking, I think Mike Spain was here, and we were talking about a plan in Schenectady rolled out for waterfront.
Yes.
And there was at that point sort of a tangential discussion of a casino. Did that go anywhere?
You know, that's still, we're waiting to see whether that developer will come forward and put $1 million down for that site.
But he has to do it today.
Has to do it today. There are proposals out in Montgomery County. There's one down in Howe's Cave. I think, you know, there have been a lot of them have been floated. And it's not clear to me why these ideas get floated, whether or not they're searching for public support. Up in Saratoga County, that was one of the key reasons where they backed off, because there was clearly divided feelings up there about whether or not a full-fledged card, you know, table-playing games casino was a good thing up there. And
yeah.
Now, one of the things we're watching as a newspaper that covers Saratoga County is to see what will happen to that racino up there if a full-fledged casino goes somewhere else in the area. Also, with a harness track where, you know, we have, which is a small but, I don't know, traditional activity up there, whether that will survive if the Racino gamblers get drawn off to a full-fledged casino elsewhere.
What do you think about that, Joe?
Well, you know, I think there's the whole Saratoga thing I find fascinating because they have the infrastructure. But obviously the city is very much against it. So then you move into new areas and you see the thing I find fascinating about this whole thing is the timeline, which is fairly aggressive.
Very aggressive.
And I mean, we're talking within
months.
Yeah, months that will be involved in this. And knowing just how long other aspects of the gambling world, i.e. a NYRA contract, took years and years and years.
Or even Massachusetts, which is still
going. Or in Massachusetts, which is still going on. It's a very aggressive plan. I'm curious, Alan, politically, what is the benefit of just, I mean, is There's one to say, well, you don't let grass grow under your feet, and there's another way of looking at it, which is steamrolling.
Well, no, that's right. People don't give money until things are about to happen. And I do think that if you've been following my remarks on this, that we should know who's giving what to which politician to use whatever public influence they have. If you take a politician, for example, like Andrew Cuomo, and you say that he's raised upward of $32-33 million, all right, I think every time a check goes into one of their accounts, any of them, we should know. We shouldn't have to wait until the reporting system, are you following me,
yes,
comes up. So that also, I have a feeling, see whether I'm right about this, that the final decision will not get made until right before the elections. And the reason for that is that politicians want to milk the system, and we'll figure out. Now, Joe and all, you know that that $1 million right now is returnable. Right? I mean, you have to put the $1 million up, but you get the $1 million back if after a certain time you want to pull out. So that'll be interesting in itself, because lending yourself $1 million and actually spending and committing that $1 million are two different things.
Hmm. Do we know, Judy, what entities will definitely be putting up the $1 million?
You know, I think the Caesars people were the first ones to actually put the money down. Mm-hmm. So they are. I have not heard of anybody else who's written the check yet. Maybe every day's interest on $1 million is important.
Well,
perhaps.
I suspect it would be. I wonder, is E23 officially in the mix? Joe, do you have any idea?
No, I. Alan, did you know?
No. No, but you know, it depends on how much you have. It always depends on how much you have. If you're Caesars, what's $1 million? One night at the casino somewhere?
Well, for me, certainly.
Or, well, for you, that's right.
Yeah.
And that's why we always have to be careful about perspective.
Right.
You know.
Yeah,
you know.
I'll drop a mil here and there at the casino. Albert Pujols hit his career home run number 500. All you baseball fans out there,
wow,
that's a big number. Now, there were only a relative handful in the last 140 years of baseball, modern baseball, that have done this. And he has hit 500 home runs, Joe.
26 people have done this. And this is why I love baseball. This is why I love sports, because I just think this is such a cool story. And so he hit it in the fifth inning of Tuesday's game against the Washington Nationals. And it's one of those things that we've been, I think even at the end of the last season, right? We were waiting for it.
Yep.
And here we are at the beginning, the first month of this season, and here it comes. And Pujols seems to me to be one of those marquee players that is a lot of fun to watch. Always is very good. I know there have been some, not scandal, but some questions about him and steroid and so forth. Most of them have been cleared.
Unfortunately, now we are in the age where if you do something very good in baseball,
you're going to be questioned.
And that's a sad thing.
And that was my point, which is, I would just love us to get back to the sort of the glory days where you look at a guy who can do 500 hits and say, wow, that's an incredible thing. And it's really cool. I mean, I remember sitting there at the Saratoga Racecourse. Let's talk about gambling. And waiting for Mark McGwire, to hit the next home run that season, and every TV, they held the race for his next at bat, and that was a really big deal. And you want to sort of get back to a time where those accomplishments are regarded as very, very special to the game.
And this was something of a surprise because he had two in one game.
Yeah.
It was such an exciting time back in 97. I think it was 97 when McGwire was breaking the record and Sosa was hitting 66
right.
home runs. And we were all excited. And it stopped. Everything stopped. Little did we know, and maybe we should have known, that the reason everything stopped and everyone was so excited was the reason that no one is quite as excited today. And that's tainted ball players.
Well, yes. And also, he doesn't play for the Yankees. I mean, when you talk about the power of media and Yankee, and Yankee and New York Mets and all the rest, if he were playing for them, I have to confess, guys, and I know that this will bring great derision to all of you. you were kind enough to send me the article this morning, and I said, who's this guy? I didn't know who he was.
Really?
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, so So I suspect, even though everybody's going to say you're a fool, that I'm not alone. And well, I am sure that if he played for a New York team, everybody would have known.
He plays for a major market team. I mean, he plays for Los Angeles. He played for St. Louis. How many, do we know how many World Series rings?
Two, I believe.
Two World Series rings that he has. I mean, he's think, up there in the upper echelons of the marquee players. And the way...
Certainly the highest paid, I believe, at this point.
You know, I knew
million.
Who he was. But, right. But the other thing about Pujols is I think he has a reputation for being very involved in his community and doing a lot to help him.
A good guy.
Tremendous ball player, yeah. Too. Gosh, you must see him. He is one of those all-time greats, and we wish him the best. Well, we're done with our panel for today. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Judy, Patrick. Thank you, Joe Donahue. And thanks to me for filling in for Joe at times here in this hour. You can email us at roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. Back with hour number two on the way.